KOPN Columbia, 89.5 FM. My name is Mike Hagan. You're listening to Radio Orbit. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
We rush around to shops and stores. We spend our nights behind closed doors. With arms around our first-class horse. And we all want something more. So we cut ourselves with words and knives. Forget about these hopeless lies. Scars are covered with silky sleeves. We're just trying to find our peace. We'll just listen to the
Good evening to you. Good day to you. Whoever you may be, wherever you might be, welcome to Radio Orbit on KOPN Columbia, 89.5 FM. Good to be here with you all tonight. And we got a great show lined up for you for the evening. But before we get things going, let's give a quick thanks to Corey, New Wave Radio Theater. Corey doing great stuff for us for the last couple months here. And once again, continuing things with Moon Over Morocco and a bunch of people online. We're trying to listen, bummed out that they couldn't hear tonight because the computer system here at the station has been having a little bit of difficulty tonight, and the stream that people listen to over the internet is perhaps not working particularly well tonight. I just restarted the server. We'll see if we get things back the way they should be, but not sure if we'll have good luck with that or not. Either way, thank you very much to Corey with New Wave Radio Theater. Thanks, Corey. Talk to you soon, all right? And every week, catch that 1 hour before this program, 10 o'clock p.m. on Monday nights, New Wave Radio Theater. We're actually looking for a host for that show. For what? You decided you're going to keep this show?
Yeah.
Get on the radio. Get on the radio. Turn on the what microphone? Here, mic three. Yeah, get right there. Corey?
Yes.
Talk into the microphone.
I've decided to commit to New Wave Radio.
All right. I'm very excited to hear that. Actually, this is the. I'm always the last to know. I'm sure there was some big executive decision to, you know, to make that sort of a real deal.
There was a lot of discussion.
I'm sure. All right, well, that's great. So, everybody, New Wave Radio Theater will be hosted at least until further notice by Corey, and that's real good news for me.
I'm going to try and find more shows that are equally as awesome as Moon Over Morocco.
Wow, you set the bar high for yourself to be doing. That's a great series. People have really been enjoying it, myself included. I listen every week. So, anyway, okay, that's great news, Corey. Thank you, and we'll talk to you next week, okay? All right, she's drinking her water, says goodbye.
Bye.
See ya. All right, everybody, it's Mike, and you are listening to Radio Orbit on KOPN Columbia, 89.5 FM. And before Corey does her program at 10 o'clock, we have Kelvin and Jason from 7 until 10. Jazz plus blues equals signs in the heavens. Tech radio, they keep us up on the amazing world of high technology. And starting things off early Monday afternoon from 3 to 5 p.m., Jeff Wheeler, Uncommon Light, good music, good talk, good news, cool, creative radio. On a clear and cold Monday night, it's the 5th of November. Can you believe it? It is already a week into the month of November. Either way, you're listening to it here on KOPN Columbia, 89.5 FM, your imagination station. Glad to be here with y'all and a part of it. And thank you to everyone who listened to the program last week and joined in for our annual Halloween special. A blast, as expected, with my good friend Kent Stedman. From cyberspaceorbit.com. A big thank you to Kent for a wonderful storytelling time. And thank you to the Bard for his grace. We'll actually talk to Kent again in just a few minutes, if things work out right, to get an update on this amazing comet that we talked a little bit about last week. But things are still very, very interesting that are going on in the skies above our heads here. Comet P17 Holmes just... breaking all the molds, and nobody knows what to make of this thing. So we'll talk with Kent in a few minutes about that. We'll do probably 15 or 20 minutes with Kent during this first hour, talk about this amazing comet that's out there between the orbits of Jupiter and Mars right now. But it is just blowing the astrophysical minds of scientists around the globe, certain about that. All right? Okay, more about that in a minute, but... let me finish my little update about last week. We heard music from John Henry and The Engine. Great stuff from some local guys. Thanks for sharing your music with us. You can find them on the web and link to them directly from my site over at MikeHagan.com. Just make your way over to the music archives, and you can link over to John Henry and The Engine or any of the other bands that are featured on the program. Tonight, we'll have music from some of my favorite ladies. We started things off with a song from Rutherford, called The Breeze, and we'll hear another song from, I think I'll play a song by, oh, I don't know, maybe Shannon Diaz, or maybe The Boone, or maybe The New Up. I think those are the four artists we're going to feature tonight. Play a couple songs from each of them, probably. Rutherford, Sherelle C. Limes and the Lemons, The New Up, and The Boone. We'll do that in just a minute here, but if you missed the program last week, or any other for that matter. You can always hear them after the fact. They're all on the web at www.mikehagan.com. That's H-A-G-A-N. And just make your way over to the program archives, and you can see what you think about the program and share it with other people if you think they might like it, okay? All right, tonight, midnight time, Elizabeth Upton, a wonderful artist, a filmmaker, and in general an all-around creative lady, will be talking about lots of her work, in particular a new film that she is close to releasing on sacred geometry and the Maya. She was introduced to me by my good friend John Major Jenkins, so she comes highly recommended, and I look forward to a nice talk with Elizabeth in just a bit. We should have lots of fun, so stick around. What I'll do here is take a quick break and get things straightened up around the studio, and I'll see what I can do about the stream. I'll do my best to see if there's anything I can do about it. Between now and then, we'll play a song from Shannon Diaz. This is the wonderful Shannon Diaz, a.k.a. Sherelle C. Limes and the Lemons. This is a tune that's called Ghost Town. All right, it's Mike. You're listening to Radio Orbit on KOPN Columbia, 89.5 FM, and we'll come back in just a few minutes.
Let's sleep beyond the city just
All right, Sherelle C. Limes and the Lemons. That one's called Ghost Town. It's Mike. You're listening to Radio Orbit on KOPN Columbia, 89.5 FM. It is, well, about 20 minutes after the hour of 11 p.m., now on the 5th of October. Make that the 5th of November. No way. That's amazing. The 5th of November, 2007, and we're just... moving right along, as we always do, okay? Okay, hello to everybody listening to us this evening on KOPN over the traditional airwaves. I would normally say or over the web, but we're having difficulty with the web broadcast tonight. We've got some people working on it, and we'll see if we can get things worked out. It's been troublesome this entire evening, but we'll just do the best we can. In the meantime, we will keep broadcasting the show, and local and regional people can listen in, and we'll do... the MP3 and the podcast, as we always do tomorrow, okay? Anyway, if you're interested in the radio station, you can always find information about us at kopn.org, and normally you can hear the program right there from the website. All right, big thank you to Larry Noriger, the web wizard, who helps out with my website. A bigger thank you today than normal for Larry, because he saved my butt and fixed the forum that had been hacked last night. Big trouble when people do that, because we've got a gigantic sort of archive of information there, and the hackers that are doing their thing these days, the good ones at least, are able to compromise entire databases. And you'd be amazed, I think, if you realized the sophistication of what it takes to actually get into these things. But anyway, somebody got into ours last night, and I am always amazed that they're able to do it, but I'm always more amazed that Larry is able to put things back together quickly. We're learning. The last time this happened, it took us, I think, 4 days, maybe close to a week to get things back together. This time it took us 4 hours or so. Anyway, the forum is back up and active, and thank you to Larry for being so amazing and getting things back together there for us, okay? All right, the website, by the way, is Mike Hagan, MikeHagan.com. Take a look over there, see what you think, and you can have access to everything that I'm doing over there, okay? And certainly welcome to share your thoughts. The forum, as I mentioned, is always up and active and busy. Lots of interesting topics being discussed over there, including this comet that Kent Stedman and I are going to be talking about again in just a minute. And that's probably the reason why my forum got hacked, because they don't like some of the stuff we're talking about this comet, whoever they are. But at any rate, there's a live chat room that's up and active, and normally people listening to the program over the stream and participating in the chat, but like I say, tonight we're having a little difficulty with the computers, so if you're in the chat, you'll have to talk about things other than the program, unless you're listening here locally or regionally, okay? All right, Chaos, thank you for getting that whole thing together for me, by the way. I appreciate it, and it's wonderful. All right. We'll be talking to Kent here in just a moment. Kent Stedman, of course, is the man who runs cyberspaceorbit.com, a very informative and interesting website. Kent's a friend of mine and has been for many years and was on the program, actually, last week. We did our fourth annual Halloween special, as it were. If you missed that program, it's certainly one that you can check out. But we were having a good old time last week, and we're going to continue at least for a few minutes now, because this comet, P17 Holmes, that we've been talking about for a couple weeks and that has been getting more and more interesting, is continuing to do that. So I figured we'd take a few minutes and say hi to Kent and see what sort of news is on the astrophysical front and see what he makes of this comet. So, without further delay, we will do that and say hello. Kent, hi.
Hey, how you going?
How are you, brother?
The comet.
It is a comet, but more, it's a comet that's breaking all the models, that's for sure. Nobody knows what to make of this thing.
Yeah, it blew up almost overnight, and this alleged mile-wide rock blew up a million times when it outburst. So far, I don't think anybody's got a handle on what happened, because the coma, the debris field, is expanding and expanding. It's now the biggest thing in the solar system, bar none, including the sun, in terms of not necessarily brightness, because it's quite hazy, but its circumference. It blew up until it was a third of the size of the moon, and then the size of the moon, and then seven times the size of Jupiter, and now bigger than the sun.
So this is pretty much the debris field that we think we're talking about. In other words, the part, it's not necessarily solid, that entire size, but that's the size that's reflecting light right now, or something like that?
Yeah, you have the core, which is a hunk of junk.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the coma, and the coma is interesting. It's composed of carbon and aminos.
Aminos, as in amino acids?
Amino acids.
Hmm.
Specifically, NH2.
And carbon, too.
C2, unstable carbon, and NH2,
right.
Which is an amino.
That doesn't sound like H2O.
No, NH2.
Right. But they tell us the comets are nothing but rocks and ice.
They do, don't they?
Hmm. Well, some people do.
Well, Hale Bopp was the first one. Those astronomers that all got snuffed due to the cable car accident, they were seeing complex molecules.
Mm-hmm.
First time that sort of description started coming out, that more or less obliterated the ice model. But anyway, got some advice for you.
Please.
Go out and look at the damn thing. It's out there, hanging in the sky. I live in Seattle in terrible condition. Tonight, it's the first clear night. No cloud, no rain.
Mm-hmm.
But the light pollution here is horrible.
Right.
In fact, the direction I looked at to the northeast, I've got stadium lights out there. There's a soccer field.
Well,
and so I blocked off the stadium lights with a tree and got a pair of my 50X. Binoculars,
mm-hmm.
And you look up for the brightest star. Stand right northeast and look for the brightest stars, and you'll see a sort of vertical line of stars. That's
part of Perseus or Cassiopeia.
Perseus.
Right.
Track from that to the left and to the. I'm down, and there it is.
Yeah, it's on. I guess it would be the right arm, toward the right arm.
Blind.
Yeah, and from where I live, you know, it's real dark. You've been to my place, and man, you get a pretty. You can see it with the naked eye, and have been able to for some time. I'm interested that it doesn't move. It seems to be in the same position in the sky every night, but and for an object that's only between Mars and Jupiter, you'd think that it would move from where it is, but I got lots of questions about this thing. So I guess in the northern hemisphere, that's exactly what you do. You got to go out sometime after sunset and start looking in the direction of the northeast. Find Perseus, and you can find Perseus by there are a couple of markers that you can use the Pleiades, constellation Cassiopeia. You can even use the Little Dipper. The star that's at the end of the handle of the Little Dipper is Polaris. And if you look, well, from our perspective, if you look to the right, which would be to the east, it'll run almost directly into that thing, Kent.
Well, you know, the light pollution is so bad here, when I just would make an eye, I couldn't see even a star.
Uh-huh.
It's hazy. And I couldn't see one star, but I pulled out my binoculars, which acquired the light, to where I could find Perseus. Wasn't even sure I was finding Perseus. I just looked at the brightest stars in the northeast.
Uh-huh.
And then I just scanned around and pulled it to the left a little bit and down, and wham, there it was. It wasn't that hard to find.
And it looks, how are you able to distinguish it from the other stars that are around it?
Well, it's a big, hazy blob.
Hmm.
You know, many, many, many times the diameter of any nearby star, many times.
Right.
Now, I didn't look as big as the sun because I don't have a good scope, and I don't, and it's terrible lighting conditions around here.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it looked, what I could acquire through my binocs was about, it looked about a third of the size of the full moon, and but it would be much bigger than that if I had a good dark sky.
Right.
It's a hazy blob. It's a big old hazy blob.
And this thing has been steadily brightening for at least 10 days. It started on the 24th of October, and there's some discussion now as to whether it's still getting brighter and how you define brightness and this sort of thing. But it's certainly a remarkable event or object or whatever. And I'm wondering what the professionals are saying about it. What are we hearing from NASA or from ESA, or we getting any data from these people?
No, in fact, we just the big scopes are not coming through with the data at all.
This is unbelievable because you know they're looking at it.
Yeah, well, we put up a petition in the name of humanity, so the big scopes, namely Chandra X-ray Observatory, New Horizons Pluto Mission, Hubble Telescope, Cassini, and Spitzer.
Yeah, the Hubble. I mean, you know, in fact, somebody sent me an email a couple of days ago and had the Hubble schedule, and they showed that it was actually on the schedule.
Well, Hubble, quite early in the game, said they were going to look at it.
Well, where are the pictures?
But I don't know where the pictures are. Maybe they're there somewhere. I haven't found them, and the people that are looking intensely for the data are not finding it.
Well, this is big news in the astrophysical world, and I've been surfing around some of those forums and bulletin boards, and those people, I would think, should be up in arms screaming at Harvard you know, the people in Hawaii and Caltech and wherever else that are running these telescopes. You know, it's a big Vatican job that runs these telescopes for the most part. But you think that the people that have the big, non-professional scopes, the amateurs that are making some great images of this
awesome,
thing, that they'd be
awesome,
up in arms.
Awesome amateur photographs of the comet. I mean.
Yeah, but I mean, if no offense to to the great amateur astronomers that are out there, but there's a big difference between what they've got and Hubble.
No kidding.
Right? I mean, I want to see the Hubble images of this thing,
especially in the very inner parts of the mass toward the core. We can see what's going on because the amateurs are pulling out some really bizarre looking stuff.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I got a picture in front of me now on cyberspaceorbit.com. It's my favorite, and it looks like a big sand. You ever seen a sand dollar on the beach?
Uh-huh.
Looks like a sand dollar. There's all kinds of internal structure in the inner part of the coma.
Yeah, it looks like a diamond, too, in a way, or something.
Yeah.
It has facets. And
there are all these rays and facets coming out from the center, and a couple of very distinct ejections going on.
Hmm.
And it looks quite intricate in there. And that's where we want the Hubble to go zoom in and let's see what's going on.
Well,
because you don't need anything. You can see it with your naked eye to see the blob.
Right. I mean, imagine...
Down inside of it. And what caused this massive explosion? I mean, it's almost like a thermonuclear explosion took place up there.
Yeah, I mean, people have to realize the magnitude of what happened. This thing was essentially invisible, and it's nowhere near the sun, so... the typical cometary model that says that the comets get excited when they get closer to the sun and then they outgas a little bit or whatever. I mean, this is completely outside of that definition. And this thing, in 24 hours, went from magnitude 21 or something to about 1.9, which is an increase in of almost a million fold. Originally, they thought it was a half a million, but they've updated their estimate. I mean, this thing just literally light up like a light bulb overnight, and the understanding of how that could happen, at least in traditional orthodox models, is just not there, Kent.
And it's huge. What we're seeing there in the interior coma, when you see a little blob of light, you say, well, that might be the core. It's not the core, because that little blob of light, when you do the math on it, is 40,000 miles across.
Right.
The core, yeah, maybe a 1.3-kilometer rock.
Right, this is supposed to be emanating from a thing that's less than a mile in diameter.
Yeah.
That's outrageous. I mean, that's amazing. Well,
what kind of explosion this is, I don't know.
Right, and where did the energy come from? I mean...
Now, you know, you and I have watched comets pass the sun at perihelion, and they were awesome. We can see them some... Fortunately, we've seen a few cross on the SOHO spacecraft, right?
Yeah, we saw that V1, which was just remarkable, and McNaught was pretty amazing just a few months ago.
And they're awesome, but this sucker is out beyond the orbit of Mars. It's not anywhere near...
Right, and in fact, it was close to the sun not long ago, and it didn't do anything like it's doing now.
Yeah, even its perihelion doesn't take it in really, really close.
Right. It's a weird object.
Sort of an outrider.
Yeah. Well, it is really a fascinating object. And the fact that it's in Perseus is sort of interesting, too, because something else has happened there recently that's remarkable as well. Maybe you could talk about that nova a little bit.
Well, the brightest nova and the longest duration nova supernova ever spotted.
Ever.
But it's 240 million light years away in the constellation Perseus. And
this thing is in our solar system.
Oh, SN2006GY.
Right, but the comet is in our solar system, and it appears in the constellation Perseus as well,
from our perspective.
Yeah.
Now, oddly, it's paralleling its position. Paralleling more or less our orbit, so it's going to hover around in Perseus for the March. I don't quite get that.
Yeah, that's confused me a little bit too over the
last
few days.
Because comets, folks, are not meteors. They don't go streaking through the sky like a meteor does or a bolide. You know, they're orbital objects, but coincidentally, the orbit of Comet Holmes is such that it still remains in line of sight between us and Perseus until March. But I don't quite understand the orbital mechanics of that. We'll have to dig up Kepler and give him a shot of whiskey and let him explain it to us.
Well, the fact that it's right in line, essentially, with this nova, supernova, that is remarkable in and of itself, to me, is I think that's interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, I look at all this stuff.
You wonder if some sort of quantum thing is.
Well, there's something going on. I mean, I'm not sure about.
Like a relay station.
That's just
me thinking way out of the box.
Well, Paul.
No astronomical sense at all.
You know, I sent an email to Paul LaViolette this afternoon, and I haven't gotten a response back, but I asked him what his thoughts on this thing were, because in particular because of the nova associated in the same direction. And we'll have to see what he comes back and says, but I don't particularly care to talk about the physics of it because I just don't know. But I know one thing is that it's defying models left and right, and there are a lot of people that are pulling their hair out over it. And I certainly know that on the esoteric side of my mind, that when these things are happening up there in the heavens, that they are signs and harbingers of something. And my intuition from the moment that this thing started was that this is a message of some sort, and I feel it the same today, that we're being sort of drawn to look at this thing. I'm not sure exactly why, but for a reason other than just itself.
Well, you know, I get email of all types, including metaphysical types and speculation based on, you know, rather scholarly mythology.
Sure.
So and then I get somebody that'll email me and they'll say, well, it's the return of Jesus to the world, you know.
Right.
And so I email them back, well, that's good news, but the bad news, it looks like somebody shot him.
It looks like a bunch of buckshot up there. Oh, man. Well, I guess we just keep our eyes on this thing because...
The reaction is that I don't understand it. It looks beyond an outburst. It looks beyond even a thermonuclear reaction. It makes you wonder about a matter-antimatter reaction.
Have we ever seen anything like this, at least since you've been watching this stuff?
No, and in the astronomical boards and the powwows around the internet, nobody's ever seen or heard of anything like that.
Well,
so
I
it's
guess
a humdinger, folks.
Yeah, it is a humdinger, and I guess all we can do is keep our eyes on it. And
it's still growing. It's going to lose its luminosity. Some say it's getting dimmer, but it's getting bigger at the same time, and the wider and wider diameter, which makes sense that as it diffuses outward, it will probably lose some of its initial luminosity unless it goes into outburst again.
So there's the possibility, of course, that it could do something more. I mean, the thing is still intact, essentially, we think.
I don't know.
Nobody knows a thing.
The kind of force I'm seeing in regards to the coma, I don't know how that 1.3-mile rock even held together at all.
Right.
You know, I mean... Well, no, my hunch would be that it blew it to smithereens.
Right. I mean, when you look at the result of it, it seems amazing that the core is still there, considering what happened to the thing and the amount of energy it apparently released.
Of course, I do realize that there's dust particles, chunks, maybe house-sized chunks, maybe bigger. But there's also busted-up molecules and ions and atomic type of... very small particles coming off it, too. They're seeing a kind of a blue tail now, but the tail is moving away from our position because the sun is behind us, and there's us, and there's a comet out there. So the tail would be blowing away. But they are picking up a sort of blue, it looks like a jellyfish. Right now the comet looks... If you'll hit on my site, you look at the pictures, or go to spaceweather.com and look at their gallery, spaceweather.com. Now, the fact that they're running the story every day and have been since the 25th is remarkable to me because they seldom do that.
Mm-hmm,
they seldom stick to something that long.
Right.
Because these astronomical events don't have that kind of duration.
Right.
But this one does.
Well, all right. Well, Kent, let's leave it at that for now. I'd advise everyone to take a look over at Kent's website at cyberspaceorbit.com. And right there towards the top, there are contact information for a number of these big observatories that we'd like to see some of their imagery. And I think that, it's our right to see this stuff. I mean, NASA is a public agency, and it's not supposed to be, keeping secrets, although they've done that quite a bit over the years. But I think it's important for us to try to get at these people and tell them that we'd like to see what they're looking at. I know we know for a fact that Hubble's already looked at it, so let's see what they've got. And in the meantime, Bardo, thank you for all the work that you've done. You've done an amazing watch on this thing. And the stuff that we have is actually remarkable. Just what we have from the work of some amazing amateur astronomers.
Well, my role is to spot these things and try to make them visible for everybody. So that's what I'm doing, and I'll keep doing it the other way.
All right. Well, you're doing a great job, and I appreciate it as always, all right?
Okay.
All right, man. Take care of yourself, okay?
Thank you.
All right, everybody, Kent Stedman, www.cyberspaceorbit.com. This comet, P-17 Holmes, really is an object that is worthy of investigation, and it may just get right in your face, so you got no thing else you can do other than take a look at it. So anyway, we'll take a break here. We'll come back and do a little bit of news and a couple things I want to take care of before we get to our guest of the evening, and her name is Elizabeth Upton. You can find information about Elizabeth on my website at MikeHagan, HAGAN.com, and we'll have a fun and interesting conversation with Elizabeth in just a little while here, about 15 or 20 minutes, okay? All right, in the meantime, let's play a piece of music here from The New Up. This is from a great CD called The Palace of Industrial Hope, and the song is called Undertow. It's Mike, you listen to Radio Orbit on KOPN Columbia. That's the new up. Rock and roll music from San Francisco, California, one of my favorite bands. It's come on the scene in the last year or so, at least on my radar. And got a great CD called The Palace of Industrial Hope. That song was called Undertow. We'll probably hear one more from the new up sometime before the end of the program, okay? All right, it's Mike. You listen to Radio Orbit on KOPN Columbia, 89.5 FM. And it's a pleasure to be with you all here tonight. It's about 10 minutes before the hour of midnight. And coming up now on the 6th of November, 2007, quickly a couple things about some upcoming guests. Of course, tonight, Elizabeth Upton, wonderful filmmaker, artist, photographer, lots of interesting things that she's involved with. We'll talk with Elizabeth in about 10 minutes here. On the 12th, next week, Larry Evans, the brilliant mycologist who is, he's responsible for fungal jungle, first of all. And we'll talk with him about mushrooms and mycorrhiza and all things mycological next week with Larry Evans. Really have some fun music to accompany us next week as well. Okay, so Larry Evans from Fungal Jungle. We'll talk about mushrooms and mycology next week on the 12th of November. On the 19th, 2 weeks from now, we will do a tribute to my good friend and mentor, Terence McKenna. Terence was born on the 16th of November in 1946, I want to say it was, and we'll celebrate his birthday and have some wonderful music as well on the 19th from John Cale. I'm really looking forward to that program. And, of course, on the 26th of November, a show that a lot of people have been looking forward to, Dr. Elizabeth Rauscher, an amazing plasma physicist, nuclear physicist, field theoretician, and somebody who's doing amazing work right now with Nassim Haramein from the Resonance Project, or I think that's what it's called, the Resonance Project, right? Anyway, alternative energy and a whole lot of other things associated with the work that they're doing. So Dr. Elizabeth Rauscher, just a legend in the field of the physical sciences in many different aspects, will be with us on the 26th of November, okay? Okay, a couple announcements. People who donated to the program, thank you. For everyone who is helping out to support the radio station and the program here, I appreciate it. Thank you very much. And we will make it worth your while, okay? All right, one other thing here before we get to Elizabeth. We will say hello and aho to Wilhelm Reich, a wonderful scientist and a person who's one of my heroes. His name was Wilhelm Reich. He died on November 3rd, 1957, just about 50 years ago. He was an Austrian psychiatrist, psychoanalyst, and a scientist. He actually was a contemporary of Sigmund Freud, and but went quite a bit beyond what Freud had done. As far as I was concerned, I thought that his work in psychology and psychiatry was actually pretty worthy of interest. Not like Carl Jung to me. I don't think that Reich actually had his finger on the pulse like Jung did. But one of the things that Reich did that I've always been interested in is his work in energy. And he discovered many, many years ago the existence of this energy that was a powerful biological energy of sorts, and for decades devoted his life to the investigation of this stuff. He developed instrumentation to observe it, to collect it, to measure it, and actually harnessed it for a variety of purposes, from cancer treatment to power generation to weather experimentation. Actually, he called it Orgone, O-R-G-O-N-E, Orgone Energy. But unfortunately, it was a discovery that the world, frankly, was not ready for. And, maybe we're ready for it now. So here's to him, my wonderful teacher, Wilhelm Reich, one of our grandfathers, one of the ancestors, and someone who you should look into if you're not familiar with his work. He was absolutely amazing and wrote a number of books during his career. And the one that really got my attention was one that had little to do with any of this stuff. It was called The Murder of Christ. And to this day, The Murder of Christ by Wilhelm Reich is one of the books that has certainly made it to the list of those books that have changed my life. So to my good friend Wilhelm Reich, even though I never got a chance to meet the man in person, in fact, he died before I was even born, and that's the way it goes. But he's still with us today, as all of our ancestors are, and we say hello to him now. So thank you, Wilhelm, for all the work that you did and all the things that you shared with us that are still sort of unfolding 50 years after your death. Okay, everybody, it's Mike. You listen to Radio Orbit on KOPN Columbia, 89.5 FM. We have Elizabeth Upton with us, and we'll talk with her in just a few minutes here. We'll play a piece of music here before the top of the hour, get things ready, and come back with Elizabeth at the top of the hour. And we'll talk with her for the next couple hours about the work that she does, very interesting stuff, and we'll let you in on it in just a few minutes, okay? All right, it's Mike. You listen to Radio Orbit on KOPN Columbia, 89.5 FM. We will play a song here by my friends The Boone. Great music from Kansas City, Missouri. And like I said, we're trying to feature some of my favorite female artists tonight. And this is certainly one of them. This song is called Good Company. And we certainly will be in good company in just a few minutes with Elizabeth Upton. In the meantime, this is The Boone.
Like the fish. There's a sailor at my door, and I don't know his name. He talks like an angel, drunk all the same. There's a sailor at my door, and he's a place to crash. He's been pissing on my flowers, digging in my trash, covered in yarn and cigarette ash. Says he has a message for me. Yes, it's covered in yarn and cigarette ash. Says he has a message for me. He's covered in yarn and he says a gray skin sailing on the ship.
Can steal my kiss.